coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Charleston Gaslighters Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
Report presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in Mobile, the heart of Mobile, Alabama, and that would be the home of Mardi Gras. And I don't know why I say that all the time because I don't even participate in it. But and we are coming to you from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai. Hyundai Studios, located right here in Mobile. I'm sorry. And we are presented by our good friends at Alpha. Mark, are you having trouble? Is it just bouncing off of your ears?
Sometimes I don't know what goes on in my brain, I swear. I don't know. It's me. It's not this me. No, everything's good. I hope everybody's doing good this morning. Had some great football played last night around our local areas and around the state of Alabama. And there's a lot of things going on, cross country and volleyball and folks doing all kinds of stuff. And folks, if you don't have anything to do today, get out and watch some kids compete. There's nothing better than watching kids compete and give it their all for something they love to do. That's one of the best things about coaching high school sports, is being able to do that every day of our lives. So if you haven't had a chance to get out and watch some kids compete in anything, go watch. There's a big cross-country meet. I think it's in Mobile today. We're going to talk about it a little bit later.
It is, Langham Park. So. That's exactly right. Mark, thank you for mentioning that. That's you get a football coach to come in here and mention a cross-country meet. That's good stuff. I think he's trying to tell you that he's just bouncing off the walls with his headset. I'm not sure. Sad day for a lot of us here in the coaching circles around Mobile and Baldwin County and throughout the state of Alabama. We lost R.O. Watson this week, and R.O. Watson was just an amazing, amazing man, first of all. His son, Todd Watson, is a dear friend of many of us here in the coaching community, but R.O. was a head football coach at Baldwin County High School. He certainly made a huge impact on everyone that he ever was associated with, and this community is by all means going to miss R.L. Watson and the influence that he has had on so many of us, and we just pray for his family that God will comfort them during this most difficult time. And I can tell you this, we're all better off because we had the privilege to be around R.L. Watson. I can tell you that. A lot of people down in the Bayou remember him from his days at Alba, and just an amazing man. And personally, it's a loss because he was a guy that always was there to call you and really just encourage you. So he was an encourager, but I tell you this, he was a heck of a football coach too, Mark.
Yes, he was, and you know, he was really as good a football coach as R.L. was, he was a better man.
Absolutely.
You know, and he carried himself in a way, in a manner that everybody would look to R.L. and know that there's a guy who follows the teachings of Jesus Christ. He follows what he knows in his heart to be right. He treated people the correct way.
Yeah.
He was one of those guys who I talk a lot on here. I mean, you and I talk all the time about Rick, is when we lay our head down at night on the pillow, can I look back on the day and know that I treated people right? And R.L. was one of those folks.
No doubt about that.
And I was fortunate enough to get to work for R.L. for a year at Alma Bryant. He was the principal there. And he just did a fantastic job for me as his head coach. And of course, I worked with Todd, got to know Todd's family and all of them. That's a really good bunch of people. And his sons, Todd and David, they're just good Christian men. And R.L. be missed. But his legacy will live on through the thousands and thousands of lives that he touched over all of his years in service to his schools wherever he was teaching.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said, Mark. All right, we're going to get some Kenny Chesney going, and we'll try to give you the scores from all around the state now. And Pops Market – I guess you could call it Pop's Marketplace, cell phone. No, what are we going to call it? We're going to call it the Pop's Market Communication Lines. Let's just go that way. The Pop's Market Communication Lines are wide open at 251-343-0106. Feel free to text us, and we'll be glad to help you with any scores if we don't cover them. But I think we'll pretty much cover the state of Alabama, and we'll get into Mississippi and some in North Florida as well. Abbeville 48, Zion Chapel 18, Addison 19, Aliceville 18, Alexandria 45, Center Point 22. American Christian gets their first win, 41, Montevallo 10, Andalusia 45, Rehoboth 6, Anniston 22, Jacksonville 9, Arab 20, Fort Payne 7, Ardmore 34, Brewer 14. Who did we talk about last week that got the job at Ardmore? Who was it? Barry Carroll was the superintendent there in Limestone County, and he hired Barry Gibson to be the head football coach at Ardmore and did a great job there. I still say one of the greatest failings of the Baldwin County Board of Education was to fire Barry Gibson. That was probably one of the – I mean that because not for any other reason than he was laying the groundwork for what was to become a great, great high school program at Spanish Fork. Ayrton 49, Houston 0. Athens beat Columbia by forfeit, so that's a 1-0 game. Auburn defeated Prattville last night. That's a big win. BC Rain gets their first win, 35-7 over Satsuma. Baker 29, Foley 28. Good win for Baker. Baker is much, much improved. That's the first loss.
So is Foley.
Oh, Foley's great. I'm telling you, what Coach Scott has done there.
Yes, sir.
That's just a tremendous, tremendous turnaround and such a quick turnaround. Baldwin County gets a safety and defeats Blount 2-0. Bayside Academy 31, XL 8, Beauregard 37, Talladega 20, Bessemer Academy 26, Monroe Academy 8, Beulah 14, Pike County 12. Bibb County 48, Dallas County 20, Boaz 53, Crossville 0, Brantley 34, Kinston 0. Briarwood defeated Chelsea 42-35 in overtime. Brooks 41, Rogers 22, Buckhorn 21, Hazel Green 14, Carver 29, Valley 14, Cedar Bluff 33, Valley Head 26. All right, Mark, hold on here. Central Clay County 42, Sylacauga 21, Central Florence 46, Wilson 0. Central of Hainville, 26, R.C. Hatch, 0. Central Phoenix City, 56, when's the last time Smith Station got shut out? And then they get beat 56-0. Patrick Nix is, they must be loaded again. Chambers Academy, 49, Brookwood, 0. Cherokee County, 35, Springville, 21. Clark County, 47, Greene County, 0. Clay Chalkville, 6. Good gracious. Clay Chalkville 68, Jasper 21, Claiborne 20, White Plains 3, Cleveland 62, Locust Fork 19. We need to make a phone call up there. It's too many points. Colbert County 63, Tharp Town 7, Coosa Christian 49, Woodville 0, Crenshaw Christian 22, Coosa Valley 7, Dale County 36, Ashford 14, Danville 28, Colbert Heights 3, Davidson 30, Murphy 7, Decatur Heritage 41, Phillips Bear Creek 10. Demopolis beat Central Tuscaloosa by forfeit, so obviously there's a COVID going around there. Imagine that in Tuscaloosa. Douglas 27, Sardis 8, East Limestone 24, Lee Huntsville 14, Edgewood 26, Manx Academy 12. Shorty White's son coaching at Manx Academy, and I don't know if they can reproduce what Manx High School was, but I'm really, really excited for Coach White's son starting Manx Academy and starting their football program. Enterprise 48, Dothan 14. Wow. I told you, Mark, when Rick Darlington took that job, you better watch out. And Bill Bacon and Thad Morgan and all you guys there in Enterprise, I know you're excited. 48-14 over the Dothan Wolves. I imagine Smitty's having a rough morning. Scambia County 34, Patrician 14, Etowah 33, Aniana 0, and Fairhope in overtime defeats Daphne 38-31. Faith Academy 49, Alberta 14, Fayetteville 54, Whitesburg Christian 12, Fayetteville 28, Horseshoe Bend 21, Flomaton 54, Southern Choctaw 0, Florence 45, Austin 28, and Fultondale 44, Hansville 36.
A lot of points scored.
There are a lot of points.
A lot of points being scored.
Stevie Dan's going to take us out of this. That's pretty good stuff right there. More PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5 and Fox Sports Central, Alabama.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gaslighters Prep Sports Report. This segment presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Charleston Gaslighters Prep Sports Report. Do you need help in your business or your family life, with your state or the national government? If so, please give our buddy Braxton Counts a call at 251-476-9900. Braxton and Jimmy Duncan, I guess Jimmy Duncan's on cloud nine now. Tennessee wins a football game and they score a bunch of points. So Jimmy Duncan, I'm sure, is living the dream right now. Of course, Jimmy was a member of the United States Congress for over 30 years, and Jimmy and Braxton have teamed up to put you in front of the right people in either Montgomery or Washington, D.C. As one of our dear friends says, it's all about relationships, and Braxton and Jimmy have those relationships in both Montgomery and Washington, D.C. Give Braxton a call at 251-476-9900. All right, let's go on and get some more of these scores. Fife 50, Collinsville 0, G.W. Long 35, Elba 16. Who's the baseball coach that started his career at G.W. Long, Mark?
Kevin Raley.
That's Kevin Raley. Guarantee you, Kevin Raley's all about that G.W. Long. And they defeat Russ Wood's home, Elba, 35-16.
G.W. Long's got a really good program. They have for a long time, Rick. You know, they baseball and football.
And baseball and football and basketball, yes. They're phenomenal.
They do a good job.
They get up and down the court. We played them at Northview and scared me to death going in that little gym. It's tiny, it's packed, and they're on top of you.
Yeah.
They were. They good. I'm just telling you everything. Galesville 30, Appalachian 0. Geneva 47, Booker T. Washington. That's old Tuskegee 36. Geneva County 28, Cottonwood 12. Geraldine 60, Asbury 6, Good Hope 46, Asheville 7, Gordo 45, Oak Grove 0. That's our buddy Larry Blakeney. That's his home, Gordo, Alabama.
My old high school coach there, Coach John Meadows.
John Meadows coached at Gordo?
He did.
I didn't know that.
He did.
I really didn't. Greenville 25, Charles Henderson 10, Gunnersville 34, Fairview 19, Hackleburg 40, Waterloo 20, Hamilton 33, Curry 8, Hanley of Roanoke 40, Muntford 10, Hartsell 35, Coleman 14, Hatton 38, Winston County 20, Helena 20, Wetumpka 10, Hewitt Trustful 38, Spain Park 17. Let me tell you this. Josh has got probably as good a football team as Hewitt Trustful's ever had. And I know you started your career there, and you had a little boy by the name of Jay Barker.
Yeah.
It was your little middle school
seventh grader.
Yes, sir. But this guy comes in from Springville, Arkansas, and now he has built a dynasty over there. But the only problem is Thompson.
It's going to be a war this
and
year.
And Hoover. Not a war. It's going to be a battle.
It'll be a war.
I know, but that's a sensitive subject.
Okay.
Because up in that area up there, they take it personal. I mean, it's bad.
It's still going to be a war.
Okay, it'll be a war. Highland 40.
Hey, let me say before you go any further off, Hewitt Trustful. Do you know the ninth grade quarterback, the very first year I coached in 1982, there's a quarterback for our ninth grade team that ended up playing professional baseball. Do you remember who that was? Played at South Alabama, played for the Atlanta Braves, played shortstop.
Oh, Mordecai.
Mike Mordecai.
Mordecai.
He was our ninth grade quarterback. Jay Barker was our seventh grade quarterback. Back at that time,
I was umpiring at South Alabama one time, and Mordecai threw me out of the game.
You were umpiring. He threw
me out. That's funny. That's a good story.
That's a
too.
Good one. That's a good
I've
one.
I've never seen Ronnie Popple laugh like that. Ronnie came out and turned his back and laughed. And said, and Mordecai's just playing.
he's a great
kid. He's a great guy. Kid. He really is. Good kid.
He's a great I kid. But, of course, he's a grown Mordecai. Man now. We're ancient, brother.
He could play.
He could play.
He was something special. He really was. Highland Home, 49. Calhoun, 6. Hillcrest Evergreen, 28. Chickasaw, 8. Hillcrest Tuscaloosa, 49. Brookwood, 16. Hoke's Bluff, 41. Pleasant Valley, 0. Hopeville, 36. Elmore County, 14. We got to fly. Vestavia falls again. Sean Calhoun's having a tough, tough time. Hoover, 34. Vestavia Hills, 6. Houston Academy, 50. Daleville, 6. Hueytown, 57. Bessemer City, 6. That's Lazenby's old school. They fall 57-6 to Hueytown. Huntsville, 13. Grissom, 6. Ider, 13. North Sand Mountain, 7. Isabella, 62. Francis Marion, 8. J.B. Pennington, 49. Vinemont, 6. J.U. Blackshire, 34. Monroe County, 6. Jackson Academy, 67. Snook Academy, Sheila Lee, we're sorry. Snook Academy falls to Jackson Academy, 67-7. James Clements, 35. Bob Jones, 28 in overtime. John Carroll, 14. Carver Montgomery, 6. Keith, 43. Linden, 0. Lafayette, 34. Randolph County, 12. Lakeside beat Cornerstone, Columbiana by forfeit. Lynette, 26. B.B. Comer Tigers fall to Lynette, 26-21. Lauderdale County, 24. East Lawrence, 6. Leeds, 20. Lincoln, 13. Leah Montgomery, 17. You fall a 10. Lee Scott, 23. Glenwood, 22. Leroy beats Orange Beach last night, 49-29. Danny Powell running the offense at Leroy. You know they're going to score some points. Yeah, Lexington, 34. Red Bay, 6. Lochipoca, 40. Billingsley, 14. Lowndes Academy, 42. Abbeville Christian, 7. Luverne, 63. Central Coosa, 6. Macon East, 21. Southwest Georgia Academy, 20. If I'm not mistaken, our buddy Glenn Light's back coaching at Macon East. Madison Academy, 53. DAR, 17. Madison County, 35. New Hope, 0. Maplesville, 70. Barber County, 0. Oof. Marion County, 29. Lynn, 7. Mars Hill Bible, 37. Sheffield, 0. McAdory, 45. Homewood, 18. McIntosh defeats Choctaw County, 28-8. Meek beat Brilliant, 46-26. Midfield, 28. Lamar County, 24. Millery, 48. Fruitdale, 6. Mobile Christian, 34. Escambia County, 0. Montgomery Academy, 45. Hill County, 26. Montgomery Catholic Mark, 65, Daveville, 7, Moody, 43, Hayden, 12, Morgan Academy, 34, Chuck Clark Prep, 6, Mortimer Jordan, 17, Minor, 14, Muscle Shoals, 24, Decatur, 22, North Jackson, 36, Westminster, 22, Northridge, 28, Paul Bryant, 7, Northside, 32, Hayleyville, 7, Notasauga, 17, Autaugaville, 14, Oak Mountain, 17, Gadsden City, 7, Oakman, 45, Holly Pond, 0, Ohatchee, 36, Walter Welborn, 15, Op 27, Mike Dubose, Op 27, New Brockton, 0. Congratulations to Mike. Oxford, 24, Scottsboro, 7, Park Crossing beat Russell County, 23-21, Pelham, 34, Calera, 20, Phil Campbell, 55, Elkmont, 8, Pickens County, 20, Hubbardville, 7, Piedmont, there's your team, Mark, Piedmont, 28, Sachs, 12, Pike Liberal Arts, 63, Hooper, 0, Pinson Valley, 38, Gardendale, 21, Plainview, 54, Pisgah, 40, Pleasant Home, 26, Georgiana, 20, and 5 overtimes.
Oof.
Priceville, 24, West Morgan, 7, R.A. Hubbard, 58, Cherokee, 8, Ranburn, 36, Vincent, 35, Randolph, 34, St. John Paul, 6, Red Level, 34, McKenzie, 24, Realtown, 24, Childersburg, 22, Robert Steele, 21. Tavon Curry ran rampant over the Citronelle Wildcats. 21-6. Russellville, 44. May Jemison, 10. Sampson, 30. Florala, 20. Sand Rock, 32. Westbrook Christian, 13. Sarah Land defeats McGill Tulin late, 32-25. Selma, 12. Marbury, 6. Seminole County, Georgia, 18. Headland, 14. Shades Valley, 41. Huffman, 20. Shelby County, 35. Sipsey Valley, 22, Shoals Christian, 30, Vena, 22, Slocum, Tomato Capital of the South, 37, Northside Methodist, 0, South Choctaw County, 53, Meadowview, 6, South Lamar, 36, Berry, 20, Southeastern, 54, Gaston, 20, That's your place, Mark Gaston.
That's where my daddy graduated high school. That's
right. Southside Gaston, 21. Pell City, 14. Southside Selma, 56. Greensboro, 22. Spanish Fort, 42, 24 over Gulf Shores. Sparkman, 47, 26 over Albertville. Sparkman, 36, Pickens Academy, 12. Spring Garden, 28, West End, 0. St. James, 35, Alabama Christian, 21. St. Luke's, 54, Washington County. Steve Mask gets that first one this year. St. Paul, 16, Williamson, 12. Stanhope Elmore, Mark, they fall again. Stanhope Elmore defeated Benjamin Russell 42-20. Strawn beat Bullock County 47-20. Sulligent 53. Cold Springs 14. Sweetwater 51. Marengo 12. T.R. Miller 36. Cottage Hill 6. 700 wins. Theodore 71. Alma Bryant 0. Thomasville beat Prattville Christian 42-0 or 10. UMS Wright 52. LaFleur 0. Viger 41, W.S. Neal 6, West Point 14, Lawrence County 7, Winfield 54, Tarrant 0, and Winterboro 42, Ragland 31. You're listening to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by our good friends at Alpha, and we are in the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here in Mobile, Alabama. We'll be back with more on Fox Sports Central Alabama.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. The Pumps Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
Premier Collision is your local auto body repair shop, owned and operated locally in Mobile, Alabama. For all your auto body collision repairs, trust the experts at Premier Collision. Your auto repair specialist, Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive, Mobile, Alabama. If you know Chris Garish, you know the kind of man he is, and he will treat you just like family. I can promise you that, and that's a PSR promise. Give Chris a call at 251-478-4500. Good quality parts, professional staff, and I can promise you the best prices in town. No, Arthur Mack covers track, cross country, and just about anything else that high school athletes are involved in. And Arthur is out at Langham Park right now, and he's covering the Challenge of Champions cross country meet. And I'm telling you, if you're a trackster, you want to be at Langham Park this morning because there's some phenomenal athletes out there. Good morning, Arthur. How you doing, pal?
Hey, doing great, Rick. How you doing?
Well, I'm too. What is it? Too blessed to be stressed? Isn't that the way we're
too blessed to be stressed?
There you go, pal. Tell us what's going on out there. I know you've already got started, and lots of noise coming from Langham Park.
Yeah. Open Division Boys race is wrapping up, and we had some good local performances. The Open Girls Division race was won by Josie McDonald of Saraland. Her time was 21 minutes 16.85 seconds. Interesting thing about Josie, she was under the tutelage of Joe Sims, who's one of the running experts here in the Mobile area, and she had told me that, if she was going to improve on her performances, the best thing to do is try to run about 8 miles a day, and she did, and it paid off big time with a resounding victory. And in the invitation and the Open Division Boys race, also, we had another local athlete to do pretty well, win that race, Aiden Gerber of Baker, who ran 17:25. So far...
Man, that's pretty good time.
Know, it's been pretty good for the Mobile area teams.
That's some pretty good times that they're throwing out there.
Yeah, pretty good early season times. And who knows what's going to happen in the next couple of months or so.
You know, Arthur, this is connected, if I'm not mistaken, to the Challenge of Champions. This is a combination. Is that not correct?
Yes, that's correct. You have Open Division Boys and Girls, and you have Invitational Division Boys and Girls.
And this is something that – how many years has this been going on?
Oh, my God. As long as I can remember, it's been going on, for the past – couple of decades.
Right.
And I have to tell you, it's become one of the top early season cross country meets in the country.
Well, when you talk about people that really deserve to get a lot of – I mean, really deserve, we need to tip our hat to Steve Schoenwald and all the guys, the track folks here in the Mobile-Baldwin County area, because without the work that Steve and you and everybody does with that cross country, those kids just won't get recognized. And we're so, so happy that you are always there to throw those names out and to give those children the recognition that they so richly deserve. Because I'm going to tell you, Arthur, if you run cross country and you run at this time of year, you know how much they've had to train in June and July.
Oh, absolutely. We're talking about in triple-digit heat index. You know, I mean, my hat is off to these guys. You know, as a former cross-country runner myself, I can really appreciate the sacrifices that these young people make, because cross-country is a very tough sport, both physically and mentally.
Now, the course at Langham Park, does it cover the whole park, or are they cutting out about half of it? How are they doing that?
Okay, well, it's kind of covering two-thirds of the park. It's kind of the best way I can describe it is really sort of a loop course, really. Yeah, they have a couple of loops. You know, one loop is kind of deep up in the wood section of the park, and then there's another loop that goes around the locomotive that's on the end of the park itself.
Right. So,
it's one of those courses that seems easy, but in reality, it's not.
Any other local scorers? Any girls that from local schools that we might mention? Or
well, I can tell you about what's going to happen in the Invitational girls and boys. Invitational girls, I believe, is going to be kind of a toss-up. You got teams from several states. Locally, we'll need to watch out for McGill, Tulin, St. Paul's, and possibly UMS Wright, because those three teams seem to really be the cream of the crop locally, and there are some out-of-state teams. I'm not for sure which one showed up because of Hurricane Ida. There were some teams from Louisiana that were supposed to show up, but I'm not for sure if they were able to because of Hurricane Ida. But on the Invitational boys' side, it's going to be a real battle between Stone Smith and Max Conwell of St. Paul's and Joseph Perry of UMS Wright. Those are the three Invitational runners to watch.
Now, when does that take place?
Okay, out of state, you have Brother Martin of New Orleans, which always has a pretty good team. I understand that they are here, so we need to keep an eye out on them. They always have a good cross-country team year in and year out.
All right, pal. Arthur, we appreciate you. And, man, you keep those kids, make sure they're hydrated. That's the main thing.
Oh, absolutely. Boy. Hopefully I'll be able to do a recap next week.
That'll be good.
Yes, indeed. I'll keep in touch with you on that.
Thanks, pal. Take care.
All right, you too. Take care now.
All right, that's Arthur Mack covering the Challenge of Champions cross-country meet there at Langham Park.
You know, Coach, the other night we had a youth development league cross-country meet out at Bayside. Kids from all around Baldwin and Mobile County came over and ran a third, fourth, and fifth and sixth graders.
Right.
And it was really neat to see all those kids run. There was, at least 75 kids running, and they were just having a big time. And I really appreciate the work that our coach at Bayside, Joe Swaggart, does to develop our youth program and how he's really working hard to make that cross-country program. And that's what makes it viable. You know, for our area to be able to compete throughout the state every year is youth programs that gets these kids running at a very early age.
Well, and I'm going to tell you, people don't realize how hard these kids have to train for cross country, because it's like we talk about the bands and the cheerleaders that are out in this hot seat in June and July. And, you know, Tracy and I we were at UMS last night when LaFleur's band came in. Our band usually performs second, but in order to get the full benefit of LaFleur's talent, those kids put on a show.
No,
they really do want it, and that's impressive. And those kids deserve to be recognized, and we certainly want to recognize as many of them as we can. And so That's we appreciate Arthur Mack coming on. I wanted to ask you a couple of things. Do you know who had the best high school sports program in America last year?
In America?
In America. Best high school sports.
I do not.
I'm fixing to tell you something that's going to shock your world, buddy. First of all, Marist of Atlanta had the best high school sports program in America, overall sports program. And when you look in the top 50, you're going to be surprised at what I'm about to tell you. Marist won three state championships and three runners-up. Mountain Brook was number eight. Mountain Brook was number eight. They won championships in volleyball, boys basketball, boys golf, and girls tennis. At 19 was Hoover. Volleyball, girls basketball, and girls track state championships. Who do you think was the next best high school sports program in Alabama last year?
I don't know. We were 35th.
Well, that's who it is. How'd you know that?
I keep up with stuff, Rick. I know you think I'm just
that's pretty doggone good,
focused
Mark.
On one thing only. But I actually branch out.
That's pretty good.
It's very
good. The 35th best high school program in America last year.
It's very good. We have a really we were very fortunate at Bayside. We got some really good coaches.
That's impressive. Number 50 was Auburn. And they I'm gonna tell you in spring sports, Auburn's really good.
Yeah, they are.
They're really, really good. And of course they won baseball, they won girls tennis. At Bayside you won swimming and volleyball. Girls golf and boys soccer, that's pretty impressive. Pretty doggone impressive. And I'll tell you right now, I didn't know that. You had told me that earlier. But then when I got an MO from who did I get it from? Somebody at I don't know. I get stuff all the time from these sports writers. But that's pretty impressive. 35th best sports program in America. Hewitt Trustful was 51. UMS Wright was 67. So some pretty strong. And you know, it's it never ceases to amaze me how our kids perform, and on a national level when you start doing stuff like that. So that's pretty doggone impressive. Still want to mention Ariel Watson. I think about Ariel, and he had such a quiet demeanor, but he led by his actions. And as a football coach, it was always tough to prepare for him because they were so solid. Everything they did was solid. Fundamentally, they were as good as anybody you'll ever play. And he gave a lot of young coaches an opportunity to get started. Jay Cozio's one. Jay Cozio had been at Troy. He and David Stapleton had been at Troy together. Jay was a young coach there and learned a whole lot from Ariel Watson. And boy, what an outstanding football coach he is now. Stape, the same way, they kind of mentored under, I guess it was Larry.
Correct.
Yeah. And so
then no, it was Robert Maddox.
Robert Maddox. That's
Robert Maddox.
Was, yeah, that's exactly that. Good for you, buddy. That's good stuff. All right, we'll be back with more on the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Presented by our good friends at Alpha, and we are in the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai studios, and you can hear us statewide on Fox Sports Central Alabama 98.3.
The Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report is live every Saturday morning beginning at 8. Now back to the show.
A lot of flack for cutting Boz Scaggs off. And I need to call out Jim Cox. I need to call Jim Cox out. So he's on statewide TV the other night, and he's wanting to know one of his trivia questions is, how many times is Rick Cleveland going to say pal on PSR tomorrow. And he gave this, I mean, outrageous number. So I'm trying to be cognizant of not using the word pal for our buddy Jim Cox, the play-by-play guy for WJTC Channel 44.
Channel 44.
Yeah, there you go.
Pal.
And pal. And
well, I don't know, pal. I think you're doing a pretty good job. And Jim, you know, Jim's a pal of mine, and I appreciate him and Dan. Dan's also a pal of mine. So maybe we can break the record today, Rick. Jim, just funning at you, buddy.
I'm telling
just
you.
Just funning at you. Great guy.
I
those
think
two
the world
guys.
Of those two
I
guys.
Do too.
I really
I love
do.
Them.
And so, but yeah, they took time out to poke at me a little bit, and that's okay.
That's good. It means they're listening.
We're good. How about Bishop Sycamore, Mark?
What?
You don't know this story? IMG Academy played ESPN, put Bishop Sycamore on ESPN in one of the high school games last week, and I heard our buddy Tom Luganville was Tom was there. And IMG beat them 58-0. Now, IMG is a school that recruits a lot of high school athletes from our area. And pretty sound program that they have there. And so this team, Bishop Sycamore, somehow tricked ESPN into getting them on the air nationwide when they're supposed to have all of these, I mean, just tremendous athletes. And it was really a... It was a suicide mission is really what it was. And
it was a way to get themselves recognized.
Well, they did. And then everybody canceled their games with Bishop Sycamore.
Really?
Yeah. All of the top.
That kind of backfired
yeah,
on.
Yeah, it did. So I don't know. I would imagine some heads rolled in the production
yeah,
part of
so.
The high school part of ESPN.
You know, IMG is one of those. They're just like a they can't compete for any state titles
no.
in Florida
no.
they, because
no.
they're not sanctioned, I don't
no.
think, by the Florida High School Athletic Association.
No, they're not.
And so because of that, they just play whoever they can get on their schedule. Now, they got great athletes.
No doubt.
You see them all over college now, kids that have gone there and played for whatever amount of time and then gone to gone off to play in the collegiate level.
Right.
And, you know, and good for them if that's what they want to do. But, you know, I wish I like watching. I'm glad for IMG. I'm glad they got a program like that. If people like that, I'm not all for it. I like to watch those ESPN games. I did watch that game, those teams in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you talk about some really good football.
That's when we were talking.
Yes.
Yeah, I told you. That.
Yeah. South Lake Carroll. Is that the
yeah.
way what it's
yeah,
called?
South Lake. Well, no, we were talking about the two teams, the two smaller teams
yes.
that would be in your division here
yes.
in Alabama.
I watched that one too. I watched them last weekend. I heard
pretty
two, they were really good football.
Really good.
Really,
really
good,
good
football.
And when you watch those offensive linemen come off the ball, they're square.
They are.
They're coming off, and it's just pretty. It's pretty. And then when they do some of that little down stuff that you guys do at Bayside, down, down, and around, yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm telling you, that's pretty doggone good. And, that's fun football to watch.
It
I'm
is.
Just telling you right now. Top football player in Alabama, who you think it is?
Top football player in Alabama.
You can
Man,
imagine
can.
Where he plays for, who he plays for.
Hewitt Trussman?
No,
Thompson.
He doesn't play for Josh. He doesn't he does play for Thompson, and he's a commit to Alabama.
Is it that outside linebacker?
It is. Jeremiah Alexander, 6'2", 235. Not big tall. I mean, 6'2".
He's a player.
Yeah, he's a pretty good player. I watched a little bit of him on film. And
I watched him in that state championship game.
Yeah.
He played
yeah.
quite a ball game
yeah.
in that one, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He's a good player.
Yeah, he is.
He's good. Let me tell you a little something that's a little odd. Top player in Texas. Wait. Greg McElroy, quarterback. This kid's a quarterback. And Max Preps does a thing where they name the top player in every state. And so the top player, the Texas player of the year, is a quarterback from Westlake, Austin, right there in the backyard of the University of Texas. Westlake, Austin. What do you think he's committed to?
No, I have no clue.
Just guess.
Texas A&M.
No, no.
LSU.
No, they're playing our music in their locker room. Our boy from Sylacauga is there.
Clemson?
Yes. Dabo Swinney.
Has gone into Austin.
He's gone into the backyard of Steve Sarkisian and recruited the top player in Texas, quarterback out of Westlake in Austin.
And he's committed?
He's committed to Clemson.
Wow. See, I actually thought when Sarkisian went to Texas,
right,
that he would start, he would get some of that cut off.
Now, he'd draw a circle around that state.
But now I will say this, in his defense and other coaches' defense, a lot of these kids, the loyalty, you know, it used to be, I'm going to go play for Alabama or I'm going to play for Auburn.
That's still that way in Alabama.
When they grew up, that's kind of the deal.
Yeah.
But now they look at things like, where can I play? Where can I play the fastest?
Yeah.
You know, where am I going to be able to? And I think that's one of the things we see more and more. And it could be that Clemson's quarterback situation is more fluid to what he's looking for. Or maybe their academics is what he wants to. Sometimes, some of these kids really look down the road at what they really want to do. And I pray and wish they would do more of this academically, what they want to study and where they want to go play and how all that fits together. And is it something that fits on both feet? You know, if it is, then that's the place to run to.
Well, I think this is going to change. I think this kid's going to change his commitment. And I'll tell you why. Name, image, and likeness. Where is he going to make more money?
Texas.
He's going to make a boatload of money playing at the University of Texas. And if he goes to Clemson, South Carolina, where they don't know a whole lot about Texas high school football in the public, what do you think he's going to make in Austin, Texas, at the University of Texas, if he leads his team to the state championship this year at Westside? There's no telling what that kid will make. But now if he goes to Clemson, and they got two underclassmen that are really good quarterbacks, you're going to see an outstanding quarterback tonight when Clemson plays Georgia, and Clemson's going to beat Georgia tonight.
No, they're not.
Okay. We'll do a dewdrop hot dog on that.
Okay, two of them. And I would like mustard, just a tinge of ketchup, And a little bit of mayonnaise.
Well, you just call Powell. He'll fix it any way you want.
And a little bit of relish, please. And I'll be good to go. Because I'm going to win that bet.
So you got Georgia.
JT Daniels fixing to show everybody why he came to Georgia.
So you got Georgia over Clemson.
Yes, I do.
You got Miami over Alabama, too?
Because
that's the same scenario.
No, it's not. Not even close, Rick. Rick, I'm going to tell you. I want you to go back home, get back in bed, wake up
again. I can't do that because I got to go up that lonely road.
It's a long way up there.
Okay. Ian's getting us out of here. But we could talk
Alabama
about this for
wins,
a long time.
Babe.
Clemson annihilates
No
Georgia.
Way. Georgia wins.
We'll be back with more of the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report and the Mark Lassiter Comedy Hour right here on Fox Sports Central. Wow. Get us out of here, Ian.
It's time for the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
Down around the corner, half a mile from here. All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, and good morning to all our buddies out at Quail Creek, Bobby Hall, all the gang out there. I'll see you Sunday and Monday, guys. In the meantime, thanks to Quail Creek for everything that they do for all the golf teams around the Baldwin County area. And well, if you hadn't played Quail Creek in a while, you need to go out there. They have really made some huge improvements to everything there at Quail Creek. One of our buddies here and guy that we just think the world of is Jeff Kelly out at Saraland, and they got their first victory last night after two pretty difficult losses, Mark. I mean, they played two pretty headgum good teams,
good teams, I can
tell you that right now. And so they come back last night after being down 15 and defeat McGill Tulin. And congratulations there, Jeff. And I know you're sleeping a little bit better now, pal.
You know, I should have. I didn't sleep a whole lot last night. You know, it was such a exciting kind of end of the game, and man, it was fun to be a part of. Proud of our kids for, you know, finding that extra gear late and getting on a roll a little bit and playing really fast with a lot of tempo, and we managed to figure out a way to come back, put together three scores late in the fourth, and then held them there at the end. So really proud of them. Could have really tanked it, you know, after being down 15 at the end of three, and
you know, had we've had some adversity this year, you know, whether it's, you know, just playing outstanding competition, some injury stuff that's just jumped up and bit us a little bit. But, man, I'm proud of last night. Hopefully we could kind of use that as kind of a turning point and keep getting better. We got to do that for sure.
You know, Jeff, I was talking to somebody and we were talking about Jarrell Williams, and he's a special player. I know that you're glad he's on your team. Talk just a little bit about that young man, because I think Gabe threw him the game-winning touchdown, and that was that boy's something special, I can tell you that.
You know, Jarrell is a great football player. He's, he's probably the best leader in our school. Just a tremendous student, has the respect of every student and every teacher in our school just by the way he carries himself. Kind of interesting. You know, late in the third quarter, we're down 15, and Jarrell gets loose on a post route. And, we have a pass to him, a sure touchdown, and uncharacteristically, he don't make a play. He drops the ball. When he come back here, I didn't say a word to him. I knew he had that look in the eye of just, hey, keep feeding me. And, you know, the next three drives, it was a lot of tempo run stuff and, you know, kind of feeding him the ball, and he kept making plays, and goodness, he probably had 150 yards receiving in the fourth quarter, something like that, and just kept making play after play after play, and that's what a winner does. You know, it may not always go right or whatever, but he continues to want the ball, and just a tremendous leader for our football team, and just a steadying influence. We've got some young guys and some guys making their first, action in big time varsity ball, and he's just kind of a steadying influence and a guy that the other guys can kind of look to, and that's kind of thing you need. And we leaned on him last night. You know, him and Gabe had a good, run there. We got a ninth grade running back that's going to be really, really fun to coach. And C.T. Engelbert, kind of our H-back that does a lot of our dirty work. He came up with some big plays down the stretch as well. So, it was good. You know, McGill's got a lot of respect for Norman Joseph and what he's done and over his career. And Randy Butler is a guy that just means so much to me personally. It was tough playing against those guys because I think so much of them. But, just a great night of high school football for sure.
You know, Jeff, that you're so right about those two guys and what they do, what they have meant to football and kids all throughout their careers. And I was kind of interested in your team a little bit. You'd mentioned it briefly about your team's makeup. Kind of got some youth on this football team. Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, we do. We start two ninth graders on the offensive side, and one's a receiver, one's a running back, and both are going to be really, really special going forward. Got some young guys kind of scattered throughout. You know, probably six or eight other sophomores on either side of the ball that are playing. Linebackers, two inside backers are sophomores. And, we got some veteran guys. We got Trayvon McAlpine on the D-line. Keaton Laws is an outstanding player on the D-line. And we got some veterans in the secondary. And so we've got some young kids, but, we've got some guys like Jarrell and Engelbert on offense and those guys in the secondary that kind of are mixed in on either side of the ball that have been in the fire, have been in big games, and know what it takes. And hopefully our young guys can kind of look to them. But, we're getting to the point, we're going into the fourth game. Those guys that were young, they're starting to kind of get comfortable, and that's no longer really an excuse the further we go in the season. And we saw that last night. You know, one of the things that we were able to do, especially in the second half of that game, is our ninth grade running back started to, see it, and it started to slow down for him. You see those young players, and a lot of times when they first get out there, especially when you play guys like Hewitt and Theodore on defense, man, everything just moves so fast. And it's, it's uh, But the more you play, the game hopefully will slow down, and I think it slowed down for some of our guys last night. And I really think some really, really good times and fun times are right around the corner.
Jeff, you made a great point about when your receiver dropped the touchdown pass, you went right back to him. And that's something – seriously, I mean, that's something that you being a quarterback and playing at every level – you know that those guys just want the ball. They you know, it's like the shortstop in the bottom of the seventh. Hit me the ball so I can get us out of this mess.
Ain't no doubt. And I've seen him over the years, and you know him and love him. Got so much respect, and he wants it. And you know, our coaches on the headset. You know, Coach Corley and Coach Bytewell and Coach Dearman. Those guys. Well, there were some things that you know, some great things that they saw throughout the game and kind of gave some great ideas going on with some shots with, you know, getting Jarrell kind of matched up in some good situations. It's tough when you got a player like that and everybody knows it. You know, defenses try to do some things to take that away. And, you know, but you're right. You're absolutely right. We came back with really the same play. Coach, same play from the other side, had a deep post, a little bit of action, more play action. And he hit it for about 65, and after that we started rolling.
How many you got dressed down on your middle school team right now?
Our middle school team, our seventh grade, we had a barn burner with McGill the other day. I think we got about 25 with our seventh grade and about 25 or 30 with our eighth grade guys.
Man,
45.
And you're starting. You got a couple of ninth grade running backs that are special, aren't they?
They are. You know, and I tell you what, I'm really, really excited. I think the ninth grade class that we have right now has got a chance to be, you know, one of the better classes. If we stay humble and hungry, you know, there's going to be a lot of good football players there, and we've got some guys that are. You know, that are playing that probably would be helping us on Friday night. That really can't help us on Friday night for eligibility reasons. But you know, we'll be definitely making some noise in the future. So, you know, I'm excited. You know, I'm excited about our group this year. But when you sort of look down the road and look around the corner, you know, it's some good times coming.
Harry Wayne Parrish walked into the weight room in the early '80s. To talk to our ninth grade players, and he said, if you'll do what we teach you to do and live the life that you're supposed to live, you'll win a state championship before you leave here. And I'll be dead gum if he wasn't right. So that's what you got to do. Just walk in and tell them that. So.
You do. You know, there's so much to it. You know, it isn't just about running and catching and being fast and being strong. You gotta do things right at school. You got to make great decisions outside of school. And you know, you got to work. You know, you got to work because there's a lot of good players out there. And we a lot of times we look around us and compare ourselves against the guys right beside us. But when you look across the state
Oof.
And the schools you got to compete with, I mean, there's some
Oof.
There's some absolute animals and guys that, you know, you got to be really good. And you can't just be talented and do it. I mean, you got to be talented, but you got to work. You got to be hungry. And it's got to be important to you. You know, it's got to be important to you. There's so many things nowadays with our kids that there's so many options.
And, all right, Jeff, Mark's got to get us out of here. We got to get him out of here. So,
go ahead.
Hey, you take care. You take care of my boy Bytewell, okay?
I'll do it.
We love you guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Jeff. Congratulations, pal. We'll be back with more right here on the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by our good friends at Alba and Alpha. And we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios on Fox Sports Central, Alabama.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market Communication Lines. Now, back to the show.
Hi, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. And a lot of milestones last night, Mark. T.R. Miller wins their 700th game. Only school in the state of Alabama to ever win 700 games. That surprises me, really. And our buddy Terry Curtis wins number 250.
Sure did.
And let me tell you this. He might win 250 more.
He might.
It wouldn't surprise me because he's got it in him. I can promise you that. Good morning, Coach. How you doing?
Fine, guys. How y'all doing?
Well, we're doing good. And I pulled out of there last night. I didn't get to see. I'm sure there was a celebration from the fans, but you were more concerned than I know about the way you played. So talk just a little bit about the outcome and how you felt about it after it was over.
Well, as a coach, you're never really satisfied, it don't seem like. But I didn't like the way we finished the first half. I thought we played good to start the game, and then we kind of sat on it and kind of got sloppy in there. So it was kind of a good thing. It gave me a chance to kind of talk to them about some things at halftime. And we went out in the third quarter and played much better and took care of business. LaFleur's really behind the eight ball. The coach hadn't been there very long, and some of their better players are hurt and so forth. So they're going to be a process. And hopefully Sean will get that group get that group back and playing good sound football, because they've got some good kids and some good athletes. But I was okay with the way we played. You always worry in a game like that, Rick, that you don't want to just get sloppy, because it seems like that's when people get hurt and like that. So we were able to take care of business and get out of there healthy and get ready for this week.
I thought toward the end of the half, I thought you were trying to set up a field goal. Were you thinking about kicking a field goal there at the end? Because I know you let the clock run down. I didn't know, because we missed an earlier field goal. And I'm sitting there explaining, well, Terry might want to get this kid another chance to kick a field goal.
Yeah, but I thought about it. But we had enough points. Plus,
right.
I was upset also about the penalties and how we'd ended the half. So I said, let me get in here and talk to them a little bit and see if we can come out third quarter and play a little better than what we're playing.
And they are behind the eight ball because, what, Sean Burney hadn't had that job but, what, maybe 3 weeks?
I think he took it the week of practice started.
Good gracious. Man.
And you know how that is, Lord. It takes you a while to learn the people's names.
You. That's right.
My best time to get them sound on offense and defense and so forth. You just trying to build a relationship with the guys. It was kind of weird. But they got a couple guys that their daddies played for me at Murphy. So I had a chance to talk to them and talk to their dad. So it was a good night.
Terry, you got some big games coming up down the road. What's y'all's next ball game, and where are y'all playing?
Ooh. Who this is, Mark?
Play next.
Yeah.
Who we play next?
We play those guys up the hill, Coach. You know better to ask me that.
Mark, you trying to be funny this morning?
Me? No, I wouldn't do that, Terry.
Terry,
come on. Now.
This has been the comedy.
You're trying to be funny?
Oh, okay. I'm just trying to help y'all promote the ball game. That's all.
We don't need no promoting. We don't need no promoting to this one, do we? I promise you. Coach, let's bypass that, okay?
I'm kidding. We got, it's a big game. It's always been a big rival game, but now that we're in the same region, it takes on even more importance as far as just, those are games that get you in the playoffs. I told the kids, I said, even LaFleur this past week, it don't matter who you're playing, all those games count the same. So I'm sure they'll have a little extra motivation, be ready to play. Looks like Steve and them have, turned the thing around a little bit. Looks like they beat a good Williamson team this past week. As always, it's going to be a tough game for us.
Terry, I want you to talk a little bit about Keith McCants, because I heard the principal over at Blount, Mr. Woods, talking about him. course, he was his one of his teammates. But and I didn't know that. I didn't know Jerome Woods played for y'all at Murphy. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, man. I coached, you know, Jerome was our quarterback for 2 years. He was a two-year starter and, you know, ended up going to Tulane.
Right.
Him and Michael Pierce both were on that team. But Keith, the year we won the state championship in 1983, Keith was a ninth grader, and he was our manager that year. He just wanted to be a part of it. And I'm telling you, when I say a manager, that boy ran water bottles. He ran balls on the field. He did whatever, you know, we needed to, needed him to do. And then, you know, he was a 3-year starter at linebacker. And, you know, without a doubt, size-wise, skill-wise, looks-wise, could run like a gazelle, weighed about 240, you know, about 6'3". And the thing about him, when he got to contact, he didn't shy away. He tried to hurt you. And, you know, you just kind of knew that, you know, the sky was the limit for him. But man, what a – he was just a big old kid, man, always. Even later in life, you know, when you saw him, even in the bad times, he always had a smile on his face. He was always – you know, very nice to everybody. You know, Paul Sousa, the superintendent and the principal at that time at Murphy, was a big influence on him. And, you know, we just always stayed in contact. It was hard not to like Keith. And he had a lot of people, Rick, tried to help him in a lot of ways. And, you know, he tried. He really did. He would do better for a while. And then he would get with some of his friends and stuff, and kind of go back a step. But man, what a talent he was! And I remember being at the NFL deal when he was drafted. We really thought he was going to go number one, and end up going number four to Ray Perkins at Tampa Bay. But man, and he just never met a stranger, and was just a good guy. Other than, you know, the problems he had, he said a lot of it started with, you know, when he hurt his knee in the pros,
right,
and all that with painkillers and so forth. One thing led to the other, but very, very sad. Yeah.
You know, Coach, I mean, we talk about these things a lot. You know, addiction is something that's just. It's a terrible, terrible disease that people don't really understand, and it is a daily fight. And he fought that fight many, many years. And, you know, sometimes, like you said, he wins, and sometimes he didn't. And we just pray for his family and all folks that know him.
Hey, you're right, Mark. I mean, man, that, I don't know if you want to call it a demon or whatever, but it just never goes away. Yeah. It don't matter. Whether it's 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, it seems like it's always there. And you always worry about people and situations and stress and whatever it's been. But I mean, guys from Bill Condon to Butch Lewis, all those guys were friends of his. Sam Atkins that went to Alabama. All those guys, I know, stayed in contact with Keith, and you know, he was always their friend, even in the bad times. And I know that a lot of them, you know, spent a lot of money, a lot of time, and a lot of energy trying to get him, you know, to help him. He just never could just get over that hump.
That's right.
Well, I know this. I've seen it for 20 years now. The way you love kids and the way you put your arms around. I saw you do it on the sideline last night to two of our former players. I know there's a spot in your heart that's hurting right now, and I feel for you. I do, pal.
Well, you know, Rick, you kind of look, Mark, you know, too, being a coach, you know, you take stuff like this personal. Where did we let him down? Where did you as a coach fail? What could maybe we have done a little more to prevent this and whatever. But, you know, it's like I talked to a couple of my players from you know, they're 50 years old now. Yesterday, man, they were all just devastated because Keith was a friend, and no, you just don't feel like you did enough to help someone. Where really, like you said, nobody understands these addictions. I'm not sure even professionals really know what's going on inside of somebody. Yeah, you can say, well, I've been there, I've done that, I was one, this, that, and the other, and all, but you really don't know. Every person seems to be different in how
they handle
them, you know?
Well, Coach, thanks. Congratulations on 250. I know you don't want to dwell on that, but congratulations.
Congrats,
that's a big thing.
Yes,
and you take care and enjoy your weekend, pal. You
proud of y'all, Mark. Y'all doing a great job, man.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you, pal.
All right. See you guys.
See you soon.
See you.
We'll be back with more Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5 and Fox Sports Central Alabama.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
Dirty low down. I'll tell you right now, Mark Lassiter. I'm gonna put you on a boat with Jim Cox and Dan Brennan, and I'm just gonna I'm gonna throw the motor away.
We'd have a ball.
Drift.
We would have a ball. The three of us could tell more stories. You want to shake a stick at?
No.
I'd like to know. You know, Boss Gag sings about JoJo. I want to know who JoJo is.
I'd like to know that, too. Talk about a low-down person.
I'm telling you.
I got reminded of that last night,
street,
too.
Lord have mercy.
Oh, boy. I got a text, and they wanted to know who the Max Preps Players of the Year were in Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, Louisiana. I just happened to have that, and thank you for sending that to me. But we'll go through that. We've already said the Alabama Max Prep Player of the Year is the top player. Probably they're just going by recruiting stuff and things that Tom Luganbill and those guys do at ESPN, putting stars on kids. And, of course, Jeremiah Alexander plays for Mark Freeman over at Thompson, is Alabama's top, I guess, recruited player. And down in Florida, we just talked about IMG. Kamari Wilson. Now, this guy is something special now. This guy is a kid that would be probably the number one wide receiver in the country. He's the number one defensive back in the country. And there's no telling where he'll go. I would imagine Dabo's in that. I would imagine Jimbo's in that at Texas A&M. I'm sure Nick Saban's in it at Alabama. I would imagine Sarkisian's in that, too, because that was kind of an area that he put a lot of commitment to while he was at Alabama. So, but Kamari Wilson is one heck of a player, and if you get to watch any of IMG's games, you can't miss him because they play him both offensively and defensively, and he's uncommitted at the time. Over in Georgia, I tried to explain earlier to Mark where Sewanee was, and it was hard for him to get that because as he's driving, he doesn't notice a lot of the signs, and he pays attention to driving, unlike I do. So he's a much better driver than I am, and there's no doubt about that. But Sewanee High School, right down the road from the Atlanta Falcons training camp there in Sewanee, Georgia. Travis Hunter, he's a 6'1", 175 cornerback. He's also a wide receiver, too. They play him on both sides of the ball, and he's one of those guys that's committed to the Seminoles down at Florida State, and he's some kind of special player. He is – in 2020, he was the number one player in America. He was the National Junior Football Player of the Year. He's something special, I can tell you that. You go over to Louisiana, a very familiar name. Who do you think that would be? plays at Newman High School in New Orleans. You have no idea?
No, sir.
Okay. If I say quarterback at Tennessee, quarterback at Ole Miss, daddy played quarterback at
Manning?
Ole Miss. Manning. That's right. Archie Manning, I guess, Jr.
Is this the grandson?
This is the grandson. This is the grandson. And 6'4", 210. He's making all the rounds.
I did see that this summer.
He's making all the rounds. Went to Alabama, went to Texas A&M. And he had a couple of surprise visits, too. I mean, he went to a couple of schools.
Is he committed?
No, he's uncommitted. He's uncommitted.
Where do you think?
Well, I can tell you, it'll either be Ole Miss or Tennessee.
Yeah, I think so,
it'll
too.
Be one of those two.
I do, too.
I don't
see him in red and white.
You know, the Ole Miss people got really upset with Archie when Peyton went to Tennessee. That's pretty sad. There's a lot of sad stories that came out of that. And I don't know.
Not for Peyton.
Well, no, not for Peyton. Peyton is Mr. Tennessee football. I mean, he is probably the best known.
And I get it why people felt that way. But, you know, sometimes kids got to step out there on their own. They got to make their own path.
Yeah.
That's what Peyton, and look what it's done. Look what the man Peyton Manning is today.
Right.
I mean, unbelievable. Great quarterback.
Yeah.
But, man, what an ambassador he is for Tennessee, for football, just for how to be a good person.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I think. That's why I think the world of Peyton Manning. I really do.
You know the neat thing about the head football coach at Duke, David Cutcliffe? You know the neat thing about him is he coached Peyton at Tennessee. He goes to Ole Miss, coaches Eli at Ole Miss, and who I think is one of the – probably has one of the best businesses in the state, in this state, and all throughout the Southeast, runs quarterback country, David Morris. David Morris played for David at Ole Miss, was a teammate of Eli's. And let me say something about David Morris, because we hadn't had a chance to talk about David Morris very much on here. First of all, David Morris is a Christ-centered young man. And the job he does with quarterback country and the way he has spread his business has been amazing. And he takes young quarterbacks out of college that become teachers for him in his camps and at his businesses all over the Southeast. And they do an unbelievable job. They really do. And this, somebody said, well, you know, I bet they make a bunch of money. Well, listen, I don't know how much money they make, but I know what a difference they make in children's lives and how much they improve the game or the position of quarterback. They have a huge camp that he speaks at every year. The Mannings have a huge camp that he speaks at every year. If you don't know David Morris, you're missing a heck of a guy. And a guy that has done as much to help young quarterbacks. He's made the quarterback position in Mobile and Baldwin County. I don't think there's very many quarterbacks that play at our high schools that don't attend David Morris functions.
Right.
And he opens up his facility to receivers just to – they can come and catch.
Catch passes for the quarterback.
For the quarterback.
And it teaches them how to run routes.
Absolutely. And then it's just incredible what David Morris has done and what he continues to do. One of my favorite people. I don't get to see David a whole lot. He's right across from Dreamland. He's right there on O'Shell Road. They've got a beautiful facility there. And I mean this, if you have a son who's a quarterback, you want to talk to David Morris about his potential and what he can do to help him. Just an amazing, amazing young man, and I think the world of David Morris. And
can I go off topic for a second?
Yeah, go.
Just wanted to say something. I thought about this the other night. I was watching UAB
and
Jacksonville State play on TV, and I was watching, and I, you know, we've talked to Bill Clark and what a great job he's done at UAB. And I'm telling you, they are very, very, very good. They got a really good football team. I saw Bryant Vincent on the sideline, the offensive coordinator, and I knew him when he was at Spanish Fort. And of course, Bill's coaching UAB and doing a great job. But on the other sideline is another friend of mine, John Gross.
Yep.
And John has just done a fantastic job at Jacksonville. I mean, they were outmatched by a better football team the other night. And Jacksonville State has done – John's done a great job there. And I'm just so tickled to see those guys doing what they do, doing what they love, and being successful at it, and still being the same people they were when I remember coaching against them in high school, right, when they were coaching high school ball here in the state of Alabama. I just want to give both of those guys a shout out. Seeing them on national TV is a great thing, and just knowing that not only are they, you know, these things, these icons people put up there as head football coaches, yeah, of big universities, they are still the same guy who coached in high school football 10, 15 years ago. They're still that same guy. And I just think the world of them,
yeah,
for who they are. I could pick up the phone today and call either one of them, and we would have a 30-minute conversation about anything but football.
No doubt.
You know, and that's what I love about those guys. And so we're going to give both of them a shout out.
We are lucky there. And well said. Thank you for saying that. That is, and Bill hired John.
Yes,
at Jacksonville State. And then when Bill left after 1 year,
right,
to take the UAB job, John took over. And you're exactly right. They're just two
good
of us.
Good people.
Just two of us.
Good
That's
folks.
Exactly right. Good people. Bill Clark, John Gross. Always good to see those guys do as well as they do. He's got a heck of a quarterback now. Gross has got a pretty doggone good quarterback.
UAB's got a hard nose, but I like to watch him play.
He's a winner. So you can say
winner.
A lot about that young man.
He is a winner.
He is an absolute winner. All right. Man, hour 45 already flown by here.
In a hurry, buddy.
We got the Camp Gray segment coming up. That'll be Mark Lassiter. Thank you for listening to PSR. I got your text up there at the Doubletree in Manhattan. That's pretty cool. Thank you, guys.
This segment of the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, Rick, we talk about this all the time. I love coaching. I love coaching kids. Because every time we do it, every time we get out there, I can learn something. If I'm open and I'm a sponge like I'm supposed to be, I can learn from them. And I can do it every single day because kids will teach us how to be better adults if we pay attention. And they don't even know they're teaching us. Last night we were playing a ball game. And second quarter, and I mean, it's a dogfight. I mean, XL has done a great job. Coach has just done a fantastic job with his program, and we knew it was going to be a grind-out ball game. And, I mean, both teams were just lining up. It was like 3-0 midway in the second quarter, something like that. It was close. And our offensive center, Quinn Taylor, he blocks a guy, and they fall down on the ground. And I just kind of saw the second ending part of it, and they fell on the ground, the ball went outside of it or whatever, and the guy got tackled, and I was just kind of watching, and I saw Quinn reach down and help this kid up off the ground.
Yeah,
you know, and it's a very small gesture, and he pats him on the back, and the other kid pats him back, and they go to their separate huddles, and they line up, and then the next play they try to tear each other's head, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It hit me right then. I told you earlier, I knew what was coming in the Grace segment for today. Because in that moment, I saw something that is relative to the game of football. But more importantly, it is relative to the game of life for me.
Yeah.
I can't talk about anybody else. I say this all the time. Only me. I can only relate this to me. And I hope it helps other people understand. There are times in my life when I've had my fanny kicked and I got knocked down on the ground. And God reached down and picked me up. He did. He picked me up. Nobody else would. Nobody else could. I wouldn't listen to anybody else. And he'd picked me up and put me back on my feet and patted me on the back and gave me another chance. This has happened in my life a few times. Couple times, really big moments. He just tucked his hand down a few years ago and woke me up from a coma. Said, you're not done yet. And he patted me on the back. Last night, Quinn did that. He helped that kid up, patted him on the back. I remember a saying that we used to read in front of football games, says, pat him on the back, he'll do better next time. And that's what God has intended for me. I know that. I know that. I saw it as clear as day last night. It's funny how God works. Right in the middle of a football game. We're trying to win a football game. Lazmi's down there yelling at him. Give, you know, they're all coaching their panties off and kids are playing. And I see something on the field that meant something more to me than that football game ever will.
Yeah.
Because Quinn Taylor taught me a lesson. It reminded me of what we're here for. It's not about what goes on in the surroundings. It's not about all of this and the resentments and the angers and the secrets and the fussing and the fighting and all. It's not about that. It's about what happens in our daily life and how we help people and how we treat people and how we are kind to other people. That's what this is about. It's what Terry was talking about a minute ago.
Yeah.
That's what I'm supposed to do every day. And I lose sight of that so many times. I lose sight of reaching down and helping somebody up off the ground. Because God did that for me. Rick, you did that for me. Friends of mine have reached down and helped me up off the deck and patted me on the back and said, you'll do better next time. And that's what we do. And that's what sports is about, folks. You can talk about wins and losses and championships all you want to. And I love them as much as anybody else. My championship won last night, second quarter, and Quinn Taylor picked that kid up off the ground. That won a championship in my heart.
You know, Mark, we major in the minors so often in our life, and that's a shining example of a child taking a lesson from somebody, mom and daddy, Coach Lassiter, Coach Lazenby, Coach Stapleton, Coach Leffert, Coach Turner, somebody taught him to major in the majors, not major in the minors. And, Mark, we can talk about your life forever because you've changed lives everywhere you've been. And when somebody does that, that's a shining star, and it's a great example of how God did what he did in your life, when as we sat in that waiting room, we didn't know if you were going to see tomorrow. We didn't. We didn't know. But you did. You did. And our buddy Corey LeBounty did as he was driving across, as Corey was driving across that bayway, and there was that
rainbow.
And he picks up the phone and he says, it's okay. That's a wonderful, wonderful testament, Mark, not only of that young man's family, but of his coaches. And, you know, we have coaches out there every day that are
every
doing
day.
In every place. We're talking about Eric Collier this morning, and they won 71-0. But I can promise you, he's got players that do the same thing in victory or in defeat. And ultimately, the ultimate victory is what happens at the end of the road. When we come to that junction at the end of the road, our fate is determined by whether or not we put our hand in another hand and pick them up off the ground. You know, all those state championships, all those rings, all that stuff, that's going to go away. I saw Ann Schilling made a great comment the other day. You know, she said, you know, for so many years, it was all about winning blue trophies, and then she got cancer. And she, in her words, saw the light. And you see that every day in her.
I do.
So thank you for that. Thank you for that. That's an amazing, amazing testament to a young man. And please, we may just have to get some kind of little award for that young man. That's pretty special. That's pretty doggone special. Thank you for that. Folks down the road, I want to remind, we talked about R.L. Watson at the beginning of this show. R.L. Watson's two sons, who we all know, David and Todd, and just the impact that R.L. had not only on his players, but the coaches who coached with him and the coaches who were his opponents across the sideline. Just one amazing man. And thank you, R.L. Watson, for what you have done and what you did. And the rewards are now yours. May God bless you and keep you. Folks, thanks for being a part of PSR. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. See you here same place, same time next week.